Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you've all stopped queuing up for petrol. You've managed to get through the first week of October because now it's time for something different. It's time for Plank of the Week. And I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by two talk radio legends. One, Dawn Neeson, wearing a very fetching red jacket. And Christo, also a legend of talk radio, wearing a very fetching blue jacket.
Thank you.
So why don't we come to you first, Christo, with your first nomination for Plank of the Week.
Can we start with John Barrowman?
We can.
Because who knew that in the workplace, trying to lighten the mood by taking out your penis and showing it to people, apparently not appropriate.
Well, I would have thought that's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Well, I would have thought so too.
I mean, even before Me Too.
But the gays, you see, can get away with a little bit more. You know, that's why you can get away with a little bit more innuendo.
Really?
You can get away with perhaps being a little bit more risque. You can get away with flirting a little bit more. However, I do feel that there is a line.
Yes.
And I feel that perhaps getting your penis out is
probably
over.
Crossing it?
Over that line.
Are you just going to keep saying that now?
What?
Penis?
Yes.
Penis.
See, that's now the fourth time you've said it. I think that's enough.
He used to call his naughty bits. See, I didn't use the P word.
See?
The boys.
The boys.
But the boys.
The and boys.
He used
he
to
wasn't
get,
call them the girls.
Yeah, and when he starred in
I'm
the
sure he's only got one.
But the boys, I mean, I don't make it up.
No, there are three parts,
are there?
Aren't there? I mean, don't ask me, I don't know.
There's a chipolata and there's two very small Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Meat and
well,
inch.
Not that small.
In any case, and so he actually wrote about this in his autobiography. So he's very upfront about it. He doesn't think he's done anything wrong.
Well, so what's happened exactly? So he's been let go or he's resigned?
He's been sacked from TV's Dancing on Ice.
He was hired after he'd written that in his book.
Yeah.
So they knew that that's what he did. But maybe they told him not to do it.
Maybe they hadn't read the book.
Or maybe they told him not to do it.
It was revealed in basically someone found an online clip when all the Noel Clarke revelations started to emerge. Someone found an online clip of Noel Clarke talking at a Doctor Who convention about how John Barrowman, whilst filming, because he was, of course, in Torchwood, he used to,
Torchwood,
that's something else.
you can tell your tabloid training. He used to, when things got a bit tense on set, when people were feeling a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit tired or angsty, bit stiff maybe, he would try and lighten the mood by opening up his fly and taking out little John
Barrowman. Why would anybody ever think that's a good idea? Maybe I don't understand the showbiz world.
But he didn't just get it out, right? He used to slap it on the table next to you.
Or put it on someone's shoulder.
I know,
Put it on someone's shoulder without them realising.
Surely health and safety would have objected to that nowadays,
But
that's awful, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, I don't understand how anyone would ever think that was funny.
I mean, his argument is, look, I never meant it in a sexual way whatsoever.
Oh, well, that's all right.
It was just to lighten the mood.
Huh?
I realised it was inappropriate. He says he regrets it. But I would still nominate him for some plankery for that because you're quite right. Why do you need to be told, in retrospect, that it's not appropriate
and he must
to get
have had,
out those parts.
You would think, in the business that we are all in, that he must have had somebody have a conversation with him to say, you know that thing that you do.
But it's quite tricky, isn't it? And I think there is a point, like, if a heterosexual man did it, I said tricky, nothing else.
Tricky?
I think, yes.
What, you mean to tell him not to do it?
But if a heterosexual man did it, then women on set would go, oh, for God's sakes, and then complain about it. But if it's a gay man, it does
Well, then that's double standards, isn't it?
You get away with it.
Double standards. I know.
I mean, all I'm saying now is that it's lucky we've got this desk.
Yeah, well, certainly it certainly is. And I'm very glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, who's your first nominee?
I don't know where to go after that.
Can it be somebody who doesn't expose themselves?
Right,
please?
Okay. My first nominee is going to be...
There is a seamless link here.
It's going to be Keir Starmer.
Yes.
Yeah, you can insert your own jokes there. Yep. You know where I'm going with this one. Right, this is a man who is getting to be under woke joke, isn't he, by saying James Bond, film's brilliant, by the way, love it, should be a woman.
Yeah, okay. Why did he say that?
He wasn't even asked.
I mean, Barbara Broccoli even said it's never going to be a woman.
But he wasn't even
James
asked,
James Bond is not a woman.
He just came out with it to get brownie points about being virtue signaling. In any case, the problem is he doesn't actually know what a woman is.
No, because
there
can't
is a connection here, isn't it? Because you've got a man who keeps revealing his private parts.
Yes.
John Barrowman. Right. And you've got Keir Starmer, who seems to be confused about private parts.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean,
he just thinks we're a mess of cervixes and vaginas.
Well, he can't apparently make that decision because, one, he's not a woman, clearly, although he could be if he wanted to be under his rules. But I don't think he feels comfortable declaring in front of his comrades, particularly those who believe that anyone can be a woman, that he can say what a woman is.
Well, he wasn't even asked.
No, he wasn't. I mean,
was he? They didn't say, do you think James Bond should be a woman?
But he's also said, well, apart from the James Bond thing, he's also said, has he not, that it's wrong to say that women have cervixes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, is it?
No, no, it's biologically a fact.
It's actually
have
not
cervixes.
Wrong. So, okay. But I can't believe that Andrew Marr didn't follow up the question with, well, what part of that is wrong?
Do they not actually understand how to do journalism? No, no, but they're not like us.
Because I think I would have said, well, excuse me, Sir Keir, but what exactly is wrong with that statement?
Yeah, and no one followed it up on it because everyone accepts it now, and sort of like women are being shut up, and apart from me, obviously, and told to shut up. Any case, so and then this
yeah,
was on top.
Women being shut up.
She can barely get a word in just to interrupt herself.
And this was on top of his 1,000-word navel-gazing thesis about what Labour are about.
What about the 90-minute speech?
The 90-minute, you know, I've been, oh my God.
I mean, this week
we
watched Rishi Sunak and Priti Patel both do a speech in about 20 minutes.
Short and sweet.
Which is fine. That's all you need, right?
Well, given
who's going to do 90 minutes of Keir Starmer?
Was there any content in the speech that might outline how Labour might get elected?
No, there was.
But he mentioned the NHS a few times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he mentioned
that's
his dad,
religious belief.
And he mentioned his dad made tools.
Yeah.
Well, he's not wrong.
Boom, boom. You made that joke about Boris Johnson. I know that.
I know, which was really lame, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just.
It's like two things you know about politicians: don't make jokes and don't start talking about football.
No.
Even though in Keir Starmer's case, he actually knows a bit about football.
Was it women's football?
No, there is no such thing.
What women are?
It's just
don't
football.
Be silly.
You can't call it women's football.
No.
It's just football.
What if you're a trans man with a cervix?
Oh.
Well, then you're a woman, aren't you?
Well, you're a trans man. I think it's okay to say a trans man has a cervix, as long as you don't disinclude women from having a cervix.
Yeah, women and men.
Is that overly woke now? Am I going to get blamed for being woke?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you can't. Well,
you can't are Keir Starmer, actually, really. Yeah, I've seen you in the room at the same time, have we?
It's the blue jacket.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he just manages somehow, does he not, to sort of take everything.
He's just scared of his own shadow, isn't he?
When he has a chance at Prime Minister's questions, when you used to watch him before the crowds came back, when he looked like he actually had a chance to make a point, and then he wouldn't make it.
No. He has an open go the whole time with this lot, doesn't he? And he just constantly boots the ball, to use that football analogy.
There you go.
What happened to Rose
Z? The problem that we have is we've got a Prime Minister who has every single opinion going because he doesn't believe in anything.
No.
And we've got a leader of the opposition.
Well, you say that, but I think he does believe in something.
No, I don't. I think he believes in whatever the person in front of him is saying.
Well, I think you think he believes in this green rubbish? I think he believes in that as well.
Well, I think only because the people around him are telling him to.
Well, no, he was like that when he was mayor of London. Don't forget, he was the one that brought the bikes in.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, people say he was never like this before, but he actually was quite green when he was mayor of London.
You've got Keir Starmer, who is afraid to have an opinion because he's trying to sit on the fence. He's got splinters in his backside.
Well, he's trying to agree with everybody else in the Labour Party.
He's also completely uncharismatic. He is so dull. If you were stuck in a lift with him, you would...
This is why he's the perfect plank.
It's right.
Because he sits on the fence, he is wooden.
He is indeed.
There you go.
And the best part of his speech was the heckling. And you kind of go, well, if that's the best of it, you're in a bit of trouble.
I know.
You know?
But yeah, he's not.
And when another thing I loved was when
the hecklers.
When they panned across to the sort of the audience, and they were all just sitting there like,
I know. But they had little red cards, which was quite cute, wasn't it? It was like, no, red card.
Oh, there was that Corbyn lady. She was the heckler.
Apparently,
wasn't
one
she?
Of them, I think she was the one.
Brother,
she was the one from Big Brother. Yeah, somebody told me that. Big Brother 8 or something. I don't know.
You're getting heckled by someone from Big Brother.
I know.
I mean, how bad.
That isn't good.
Of all the reality shows, could have been Love Island.
Well, at least it wasn't John Barrowman, I suppose.
Yeah.
Waving at him from the back row.
No. He'd have been up on the podium with it slammed down there.
Well, that would have made life a bit more interesting.
On his shoulder, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Just to lighten the mood. mood a bit.
We're not getting away from the
I feel
people,
the hand of
we?
History on my shoulder. Do you remember when Tony Blair said that? No, it's not a hand.
It's not a hand.
Anyway, that's enough about that. I'm going to nominate Insulate Britain. Ooh. For the first plank.
How could you?
Because, do you know they've now said sorry, by the way? Mm. Today, I think they've been roughed up yesterday by, I think they were a bit shocked by what happened on Wandsworth Bridge when they were all dragged out of the way.
These were British builders. I love British builders.
I love them. And also...
dragging them and not doing it kindly as well.
No.
No, but also paramedics as well, who were from an ambulance pulling them out of the
just
way.
Just dragging them.
And suddenly now they've decided to apologise, which proves one thing, that the only thing these people understand is a bit of brute force. And actually, they're probably now a bit worried about coming back to London. And somebody sent me a great text yesterday when they were outside the Blackwall Tunnel. Somebody just went, they're in Millwall territory now.
Yeah.
I think they better be a bit careful because you don't go to Millwall territory and
not that we're advocating violence in any way, shape, or form, because that would be wrong.
Notice, that would be wrong.
Though, they could have gone and done all of this around the Conservative Party conference, actually around the decision makers. Mm-hmm. Didn't go anywhere near there.
No.
Didn't go anywhere near where it was heavily policed.
No.
Decided to
Well, that's because they all live around. That's because they all
London.
Live around the M25, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Well, Tarquin needed to come.
Counties.
Tarquin needed to come from the lovely house in Wandsworth that he shares with.
Now, you
his
had
family.
A run in with some of these characters. I won't have them on, but you've had them on, haven't you?
I had Liam Norton on.
Oh, yes.
And he.
Oh, I had a run in with
him. He's the one that you had storm off with GMD.
Yeah, I make men storm out.
Yeah, well.
I know, I'm barely here myself. But he...
Mr. Neeson, I disagree with you there. He's still hanging about after all those years.
Yeah, I know.
But I thought it was a perfectly legitimate question to ask him, if you did get everything you wanted, what actual contribution would that make to the world CO2?
Yeah.
And the response was, I am like a 1930s Nazi sympathiser.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which seemed perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, and the
appeaser
of Hitler.
And the appeaser of Hitler.
Yes.
And of course, the one I'd spoken to the week before, Steve Gower, he was the one that was saying that one of the reasons that he volunteers and protests and spends most of his time doing that is because since 2001, he's had real trouble paying his heating bills and paying for the one-bedroom flat he shares with his son. And I made the perfectly reasonable suggestion.
Well, lots of people have trouble paying for their heating bills.
Yeah, but he should get a job.
Right.
Maybe
a job.
He should actually get a job. He's not worked for 20 years.
Really?
So, of course he can't pay his heating bills because he's not had a job for 20 years.
I know. But this is the trouble. Most of these people either seem to be rather well-off retirees, because I saw one being interviewed by Julia the other day, in a beautiful, lovely kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Which looked like one of those sort of, you know, to the manor born type houses. Mm-hmm. Or they're unemployed and they're on benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And they don't work at the weekend, which is my thing. I always say, I don't know why they don't work on Saturday and Sunday.
No, I know. And they didn't work this morning because it was raining as well.
Yes.
It was raining really hard
like
this morning. So, but it's, you know what with this, like, it's the hypocrisy as well. It's the fact that at least three of them, and it's very easy to find out who's got a good insulated home, at least three of them don't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot more if I bother
but
digging
But you also, you can't insulate every home in Britain anyway.
You can't. Grade 2 listed builders, try listing, try insulating one. You can't.
It's an odd thing, insulation. I mean, also, it's the dullest thing to protest.
I mean, I've been around a long time, you to a lesser extent. I've never heard of this organisation before, you know, what, 3 weeks ago? Insulate Britain, really?
A splinter group, apparently, from Extinction Rebellion.
Well, that crazy bloke from Extinction Rebellion, Roger Hallam, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to nominate him, but obviously Mike's in charge, allegedly.
Well,
so he nicked the whole
thing. There's nothing wrong with mentioning him alongside
Insulate.
He is actually in Insulate Britain.
If you stop interrupting me, I'm going to mention him.
Well, I'm just trying to shut you down.
No, don't do that. I'm a woman, you can't.
Okay, then.
I have a cervix,
do you?
Okay? Yeah.
Don't show me.
I do, honestly care. Right, okay.
Don't try and lighten the mood by getting it out.
Don't you start.
Mrs. Barrowman.
No, don't go there. Anyway, so Roger Hallam, who is the founder of Extinction Rebellion, is too nutty for them
This
now.
Is the guy who was thrown out of Extinction Rebellion for being
hardcore.
Too extreme.
So he went on to form Insult Britain. See what I did there?
Very good.
Insulate Britain.
But he can't spell, so it came out wrong.
Exactly.
He spent a lot of time on psychotropic drugs, I understand.
Yeah, well, he is a fouled organic farmer. He's got a big spread down in Wales, which isn't insulated.
Oh dear!
Thought.
What does he grow?
I dread to think. I'm not even going to go down that particular avenue.
Mushrooms.
But he is also the one that, let's not forget, the split came from Extinction Rebellion when he dismissed the Holocaust as just another mess up, I'm not using his exact word, in human history.
Right, which is a bit odd given that your guy also now mentions the Holocaust.
They're a bit obsessed,
seem a bit obsessed about.
And let's not
Nazis.
Forget as well, Gail Bradbrook, who I interviewed from Extinction Rebellion, one of the founders, she had gone
on a
10,000 mile trip, also to take psychedelics.
This is the woman with the diesel
car,
because she can't afford an electric one.
Yeah. And she doesn't want, she needs to
I
take
mean,
her children places.
It's just ridiculous.
It's like there are some scenarios where a car is needed, isn't
and,
it?
I know. Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah, I know. And there's the other bird, the blonde one, whose name I've promptly forgotten. But
the one who takes her shirt off.
Yeah, yeah. She does everything topless because it's getting publicity for the cause.
Right.
She's got plastic boobs.
Has she?
Yeah.
Blimey. I've never even really looked at them.
Are they insulated?
They're well insulated, love.
Yeah, you could use them for that, I suppose.
Yeah, she could use them as floats if she's going to stink anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it's such, but I presume, I really do think that they've now actually realised that not only, because they used to say, well, we know that people are not happy with us, but we don't mind because it's a very important cause. We're saving the lives of millions of people. I think they're now seeing the chance of them getting a bit of a shooing. And I think they don't fancy it anymore.
Yeah, I think that's...
Well, if they've apologised now, and this guy, the founder, was refusing to apologise before, saying if someone died in an ambulance, it would be fair enough, perhaps they're starting to realise the public aren't with them.
Well, that's what, on a serious note, because I can do serious, that's why I want to nominate him today, because he actually gave an interview yesterday after they blockaded Blackwall Tunnel and Wandsworth Bridge, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After they blockaded those, they were dragged off from Wandsworth, and there was that poor woman who was trying to get a hospital with her 81-year-old mum, and they blocked her, and she was begging Mike. She was in tears and begging.
I know.
And it was heartbreaking stuff. And Roger Hallam was questioned on this, you know, would you actually stop an emergency ambulance with a dying person in it from getting to hospital? And he goes, I wouldn't move. I would stand in the way.
I know.
And I just
They're fanatics, aren't they? I mean, this is their apology, right? This is from your mate Liam Norton. Insulate Britain wishes to profoundly apologise for the disruption caused over the past 3 weeks. We cannot imagine undertaking such acts in normal circumstances, but we believe that the reality of our situation has to be faced.
Oh, so he's now the Nazi sympathiser.
Well, apparently so. The collapse of the climate is happening around us. We face economic chaos and the breakdown of law and order in a matter of years. These are the people breaking the law.
Yeah.
It's
like that. Has he even got an insulated house?
No.
By the way.
What does he do, by the way? What's his claim to fame?
He's an electrician. Couldn't make that one up, could you?
It's just incredible, isn't it?
He actually makes his money off electricity, which apparently we're using too much.
Don't mention that. No.
Deary me. Right, number two for you.
All right. Well, actually, this follows on quite nicely because Sadiq Khan, of course, supports a lot of these absolute eco-maniacs. He's pledged his support for Extinction Rebellion in the past. I want to nominate him for a different reason this week. And, well, the first reason is because of the fact that, obviously, we've had this fuel crisis.
Mm.
And I don't know if you saw, he loves to piggyback off the back of any single call.
Oh, he does.
And take credit for absolutely everything.
Yes.
I mean, you know, my favourite one, which is not related to this, was when he took credit for, I think, Anthony Joshua having won one of his fights, saying, you know, you're a London boy, even though Anthony Joshua is from Watford. Whereas previously he said that they couldn't extend the Met Line in Watford because it wasn't part of London. So
he also adopted that tennis player.
The little tennis player who's from Bromley and Kent.
And via Emma Canada Raducanu. And China and Romania.
Yeah, proud Londoner.
He will literally take credit for anything. He is now taking credit because he's saying that because he asked for the army to be brought in for the fuel tankers, he is now the person that has
but
got that
But he didn't ask
happening.
For the fuel tankers to be brought
didn't.
In.
He just makes this stuff up and takes credit. I requested that the sun came up this morning, and it did.
Right, there you go. Thank God for your request being honoured.
I really am amazing.
It was raining really heavily.
I requested the rain. I said I wanted the sun for a bit, then I requested the rain.
Actually, it was sunny when I came in. I don't know what time you
were
up.
That's your natural sunny personality.
Like 4 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah, well, I get up at the crack of dawn. Just for you.
Well, you didn't need to do that much prep, I can promise you. So far, it doesn't prove you've done much. You know what I mean?
Very rude.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about the crack of dawn and I'm...
Yeah. You just can't help yourself.
You don't want to go there anymore.
But let's not forget Sadiq Khan's hypocrisy when it comes to his eco-credentials.
Oh, yes.
Now, there was an interesting revelation from him at the Labour Party conference, which, of course, is unforgivable. He's spoken about the racial abuse that he suffered, the fact that he's had death threats from people and the like. That is obviously unforgivable. But at no time have I ever heard of racism equaling a 5-litre Range Rover.
Mm.
If you need to be protected,
yes.
You can be protected in an electric car.
You
can be protected by having your service officers around you while you're on a bicycle.
Yes.
I never knew that racism equated to a 5-litre Range Rover.
No.
Who knew?
I think it's bulletproof as well, isn't it?
Is it?
I think it might be.
Well, why do they need three of them? I mean, he's got all those other SUVs.
Do you remember when he went for a walk with his dogs the other day?
This is the 5-litre.
And he was followed around by two people in Jaguars.
Yeah.
I think one of them was in a Volvo. And he was walking his dog 3.5 miles away from where he lives.
Can protection officers...
4 miles, come on.
4 miles,
give the bloke some credit, that's a long way.
Can protection officers not go in a Prius?
Apparently not. No.
Apparently not. And no. This is the point. So I just cannot stand that man's hypocrisy. I can't stand the fact that he won't talk to us as well. He'll talk to every other media. Mm. Do you know he started sharing BBC London news reports now? Because they're so toothless that they don't ask him any kind of controversial question. They just agree with everything he does. When you have a media...
Also, they treat him as if he's a sort of king of London.
Like he's a messiah.
Right? He's like some kind of, you know, figure of absolute power who must be sort of, you know, genuflected to all
they
times.
Never ask him a controversial question. No. They never ask him anything that is going to make him look bad, to the point where you have, as I said, a leading politician just sharing it as a promotional piece of footage.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a failure of journalism.
Yes.
And that's why I'd like to nominate.
Well, I'm rather proud of the fact that he won't speak to us, because it means we must be doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Because he's frightened. He's frightened to come here because he knows that we would ask him a lot of difficult questions. The other thing that I find amazing about him is that he was up at Labour Party conference with Angela Rayner, wasn't he? Doing some kind of... Doing some kind of, you know, DJing or something like that. And making a speech. But not one mask to be seen. Right, you know how he's always saying,
"Oh yeah,
wear a mask on the tube."
He wanted to criminalise that.
He wanted
to
make it a crime not to wear a mask. And he's up there in a nightclub with a load of people shouting, singing without a mask.
Did he show a vaccine passport to get into that
nightclub? I don't know. Very much doubt it, though.
What on earth did he play as a DJ?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if he was actually the DJ, but he was standing with the DJ where the DJ was.
Of course, he's getting a photo. We always do that, yeah.
He sent a tweet the next day saying, "I held an amazing party, I DJed."
Andy Burnham was the same. I mean, Andy Burnham was at the Mirror Party singing his heart out with Angela Rayner and a couple of other people. Don't look back in anger. Again, no mask. This is the guy that was quoted as saying just the other day, in every sort of confined area inside, you should wear a mask.
Yeah.
He's, again, in a nightclub, singing karaoke, face-to-face with somebody, no mask.
But a lot of...
I'm quite happy for him to do that, by the way.
But it's a hypocrisy,
it's hypocrisy. It's
a lot of people think that Sadiq Khan was at that conference giving the speech as a bid to one day be our Prime Minister.
No, he's got absolute ambition
to be the next leader of the Labour Party.
No.
And given that Keir Starmer is the current leader of the party, he's almost likely to happen,
isn't it? He's got to get through Angela Rayner.
He's got to get past Angela Rayner, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that doesn't look like an
easy
task.
Well, maybe he could nip in when she's out having a fag.
Yeah.
You know, out smoking.
Yeah. You know, you're worried about your health and the pressure on the NHS.
Pressure on the NHS, you carry on with the 20 Bensons.
You're having a fag.
You know it is Bensons as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. Or maybe Embassy.
Two at a time.
I don't
strong
even
enough.
Know. Yeah, I know, absolutely. So, number two for you, Dawn.
Right, number two for me. I think we should carry on the sort of like the hypocrisy line, I think, because there's a bit of a theme going on here.
Hypocrite of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite difficult. Well, mine is actually going to be a chap called Philip Allott, who is Police Commissioner for North Yorkshire. Now, you might not know who he is, right? Okay. Former Tory MP, so there's the link.
I think I vaguely remember him as an MP.
You have. Yeah, he was elected as our Police Commissioner for North Yorkshire in just May this year, so not that long. And however,
what does the Police Commissioner for North Yorkshire actually do?
Well, this one makes complete and utter plank of himself.
Right, well,
and
of course.
I was going to choose another word, but I'm not allowed to because it's a family show.
He's a planker.
Yeah.
He's a complete banker. Any case, he saw fit to comment on the horrific murder of Sarah Everard by a serving Metropolitan Police officer by actually implying that women were somehow responsible. I mean, what?
Oh, you can't have done that.
Yes.
What did he actually say?
He did. He said that women should be more streetwise. Thank you. Bearing in mind that Sarah was doing absolutely everything right, and this chap was a piece of scum
monster.
Was a serving police officer with a warrant. He said women should be more streetwise and that Sarah should never have submitted to arrest. Then he doubled down by saying perhaps women should learn a bit more about the legal process.
Oh.
Perhaps he should learn a bit more about not talking out of his backside.
Very good.
I tell you what, as a woman, I got very angry about that. How dare he?
So you should know a bit more about the law so that you
don't get arrested and murdered by a police officer.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You must feel so reassured now.
I do, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm going to howl the bus as well just
before
it happens.
I was going to say, that's the other great bit of advice, isn't it?
So it's different.
If you have any suspicions that the police officer currently questioning you is not, in fact, kosher, what you should do is put your hand out and call a bus in.
Oh, you can't get buses to stop at bloody bus stops.
Well, exactly right.
And also, how do you do that in handcuffs?
Also, how do you do if there's no bus coming?
Yeah.
Also, didn't they say call 999 as well? Which, how would you do that in handcuffs?
Or go and knock on somebody's door.
Call the police if you don't trust the police.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. It's just the amount of guff that men have spoken about what happened to Sarah, and I just can't even bear thinking about what
happened. Yeah, but I think the trouble is a lot of people are talking a lot of guff about that whole story.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, like everything else in this world, everything has become politicised and, you know, gender identity.
Yeah.
And everything is about men and women, and it's about a murderer.
It's about
and
a horrible, psychopathic piece
and a horrible, awful event that happened, which thankfully is very, very rare.
But this Met Police advice about calling 999 or flagging down a bus or going to someone's front door, they actually sent a tweet when the sentencing was happening saying, look, we're devastated by this, we're going to come out with a response. Mm. So we all expected, you know, this is how we're going to ensure this will never, ever happen again.
Yeah.
And then they came out with this advice. I mean, who is actually running the Met Police to think, this is going to be what people want to hear?
A woman. Hasn't
exactly, a woman who you would think would know better in terms of dealing with women's issues.
They want reassurance. People want reassurance. They don't want this rubbish.
Yeah.
And you're right. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's overseen the Met Police go through some absolutely horrific scandals, going back to John Charles de Menezes, who was, of course, shot in Stockwell Station after the London bombings, unlawfully shot because he was doing absolutely nothing wrong. And so, I mean, it's a complete and utter mess. Yeah. And this is just...
It's not rocket science, is it? I mean, there are two serving Met Police officers now who actually swapped some of the vilest messages with this filth that took Sarah's life. And they're still serving police officers.
Yeah.
They're still working in the Met. Christina, just get rid of them.
Well, she's also going to have an inquiry now into whether the police have been doing things the right way. I think I could probably give her an answer for that without an inquiry.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
I would say things aren't going too well for you, dear.
Yeah. No. I think we should do, Mike, we should go away, charge you a fortune, sit there for a year thinking about it, and then go, nah. You're not doing it right. Bye.
Yeah, we didn't. We're going to learn some lessons, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to try and do things
better. Don't forget the recommendations that they won't take on board.
Yes.
We've got the whole list of recommendations, which will inevitably
come. And, you know, they're going to appoint somebody who's not a police officer from outside the organisation, but you can bet your bottom dollar it'll be some plank from some quango who's already doing nothing in another region of the economy.
Hopefully, Philip Allott, police commissioner for North Yorkshire, will be doing nothing very soon. But on a little note, he's also got a wife and a daughter, by the way.
Yeah. Well, let's hope he tells them.
I know,
let's hope he gives them a copy of the Book of Law.
Well, quite.
So they can
about
get to know it.
Keir Starmer's dad being a toolmaker. this bloke's dad used to breed and race donkeys. Okay. And Mr. Allott...
Who races donkeys?
God only knows. And Mr. Allott has actually written a book about his dad racing donkeys. So Allott's dad produced an absolute ass.
Very good.
You race donkeys.
Who races donkeys? I mean, I've been on donkeys. I didn't really race them.
I'm not making it up. Nothing wrong with Yorkshire,
it's a Yorkshire
lovely, by the way.
Lovely, but maybe they don't have... Maybe they didn't have a television.
Maybe they can't have a real horse.
Maybe they didn't have an alpaca. I did the alpaca thing. No.
Did you see that that didn't have TB, by the way? So you were wrong about that.
I
they
know.
Should never have shot it.
Well, she said it didn't have... No, let's not go down the alpaca route now. No.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I'm going to go with an entire country for my next play, and it is New Zealand. because we know how things have not been going very well down in the old Antipodean part of the world. No, they don't. They come from Peru.
No, they have been.
They have them everywhere.
Didn't this one come from New Zealand?
It might have done.
I'm pretty sure
it doesn't mean that's where they come from.
More well-travelled than Judith Chalmers. Yeah.
It was the last alpaca into New Zealand before they locked it down. Lucky he got out. Nobody else does, right? How did he manage that?
Wasn't really a good move, though, was it, getting out? Should we get off the alpaca bike? Sorry, Mark.
I'm not even going to say what I was about to say there, because it would probably have resulted in me getting sacked. But
I know what.
So New Zealand. Never mind.
Sorry.
New Zealand, the place where they think they can eradicate COVID, right, by shutting everything down completely. They've actually said to people, "Don't talk to your neighbours." They have actually said that. She said it.
You transmit it over the fence.
Yeah. Don't talk to your neighbours because we want you to stop talking to people that you're not living with.
They obviously said it in Australia while they were doing it. Then.
Well, they're quite similar.
Worst,
you know.
Ever.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad accent. Have you heard Jessica?
Are you sure it sounded
exactly like that?
Well, that's because she's got alpaca teeth. Oh, yeah. Did I just say that?
Done it again.
Are you sure in Australia they weren't just criticising neighbours?
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe they've also
been confused.
Yeah. Home away was.
They also had one case, right, and locked down the entire country.
Oh,
it is absolutely ridiculous.
It's mad.
Insane. Did you hear about the story? I mean, this is Australia, not New Zealand, where they were going to pick up these rescue dogs, and they just decided to shoot the whole lot.
Shoot them all, yeah.
They just shot the whole lot. Yeah. An entire sanctuary of rescue dogs.
No, I'm not in favour of shooting animals.
She
is. Hello, I'm the only one that doesn't eat the damn things.
You're not the only one.
Well, no, I'm the only one here.
But so you only want to kill them killed for fun, then? that's even worse.
I just do like a fur coat,
I just stick to donkey racing, to be honest.
Absolutely.
I'll shoot them. Now, listen, this is not the reason, however, I'm naming them as Planks of the Week.
Okay, why?
I'm really naming them because there's a woman called Lisa Carrington. You may not have heard of. You probably think she was in Dynasty, right?
Yeah.
But no, she wasn't.
I always perk up when I hear a Carrington.
She wasn't into Blake Carrington. What a character.
Anyone would think he's gay.
I know. So Lisa Carrington, right, is a flat water canoeist.
Right.
Now, that's probably harder to do than racing donkeys, I think.
I suspect anything is.
She is New Zealand's most successful Olympian, right? Having just won a total of 5 gold medals and 1 bronze medal, she won 3 consecutive gold medals in the women's K won 200 metres at the 2012 Summer Olympics, 2016, 2020. I mean, she's just won loads and loads and loads and loads of things.
History.
And we had the most recent Olympics, of course, the 2020 ones, confusingly, in 2021.
Yeah.
But she won more gold medals. But they recently had a Sports Personality of the Year, Sportswoman of the Year, right?
I know where you're going.
And she didn't get given it. Do you know why? Because they gave it to Laurel Hubbard.
The failed weightlifter.
Yes.
Mm. Who used to be a man and transitioned to become a woman.
That's the one.
Doesn't have a cervix.
And so she was named, even though she didn't qualify in the female weightlifting finals.
She failed miserably, actually.
She won Sportswoman of the Year in New Zealand.
Because that's just more woke
rubbish,
isn't
that ridiculous? Isn't that just ridiculous?
Because she's transgender.
Why?
But you get awards for that.
But don't people realise, right? You know, like, I am not... anti-people wanting to live their lives as they want. If you are trans,
I couldn't care less.
Say good luck to you. But don't they realise that when they do these virtue signals and take away from women who have achieved as that can be
Lisa Carrington,
Lisa Carrington, that they're actually going to make people less tolerant of transgender people.
Of course they are.
And they're going to see that this is happening, and it's going to be about women feeling like they're being sidelined.
And it was almost like, as well,
argument.
And it was almost as though the fact that Laurel Hubbard did fail to get anywhere was somehow a good thing, because they could all stand there and go, see?
See,
she's not any better than anybody else.
Doesn't give you
I'm sorry, then why is she qualified?
And
if that's the case, then why is she there?
And it is not transphobic to question someone who went through male puberty, their presence at a female sporting event.
No.
That's why you need to have these conversations.
Of course,
and it is mind-boggling to me, and it is mind-boggling to me where this debate is going, and it is mind-boggling to me that you are accused of transphobia when you simply have these open and honest discussions. And it does go back to the cervix discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you are transphobic just to state in biological fact.
Well, what's happening at the moment, and it's interesting, because I'm not speaking on behalf of women, but I've no problem
that's a
if it says, yes, I'm just
who are you speaking on behalf
of? There is something he
the
wants
gays.
To tell you, by the way.
I'm speaking on behalf of the gays.
Just the gays. But I've no problem if when you're talking about someone with a cervix who needs a medical intervention.
Yeah.
On the NHS website, it states at the moment
women and people with a cervix need to have a smear. Now, to me, that's probably the best balance of doing it.
No woman has a problem with that.
But if you go to then the prostate section of the NHS website, it just says men with a prostate. It doesn't say men and people, because, of course, if you are a trans woman, you will still have your prostate if you transition to be a man to a woman. So women are having to compromise their language.
Women are being after centuries of fighting to have our voices heard, we're being silenced. I'm sorry. You can't even say the word
like
woman
that.
Now.
It doesn't feel like you're being silenced, I must say.
Mike Graham!
I mean, you know, that's all I hear is women's voices all the time. Maybe it's just in my head.
Yeah. You hear lots of voices in your head, though.
Well, it's true.
Especially
anyway, so New Zealand. What an absolute collection of planks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
All you hear but is you women's voices. That's really made me laugh. Just like, we're trying to have an adult debate about women's voices being amplified.
Yeah.
And he says it's happening too much.
I hear voices.
Well, yeah, it's true. Anyway, what's your third nomination?
Oh, now, I've got a good one.
Have you?
Now, I wanted to do...
I wouldn't say the other two were bad.
Well,
the first two were pretty good, wouldn't you?
But this is a really good one.
Yeah.
Because I... You know, now, I want to tell you some breaking news here, and I know that this is going to surprise you.
Right.
I love a musical.
No.
Do you?
I know.
Really?
I know. It's difficult to believe.
I know. It is
hard. I do enjoy a musical. And I was going to nominate Harry and Meghan.
Oh, yes.
But you being the queen of everything, Mike, overruled me from doing
Well, what
that.
I said to you was, in order for full disclosure and full transparency, which is what we do here at Talk Radio, I said, more than likely, Harry and Meghan will be carried over, which you seem to not quite understand
and then
as a concept.
Then, this is backstage secrets here. He then had to explain to him
what carrying over
meant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
still
you carry one from that column and put it in that
column. I still
column.
Don't understand.
Well, anyway, so they will make up the 10th nominee after the three of us have nominated.
Well, the reason that I was going to have them not be carried over but have them as my nominee was because, obviously, Diana the musical has now hit the screens on Netflix.
Yes. Now, until this happened, I didn't even know they were making it.
Oh, yeah, well, it was on Broadway
for
a while.
Okay.
And then what they did was they went during lockdown, they filmed one of the productions.
So this is actually a live production.
So it was a live production.
Okay.
They filmed it for Netflix
with
different camera angles so you could get the close up on the woman that played Camilla. Amazing. And so.
Is there anybody we've heard of in this thing?
Absolutely no one.
No.
And,
excellent.
But brilliant. Musical, I think. Really? I absolutely love it. I've got some lyrics
for you.
Well,
you've shown me a clip of it, which I have to say I would not have used the word brilliant to
Charles
describe.
Charles Body Pops, which is amazing.
No. I mean, I can quite happily admit that I hate musicals with a passion.
Yeah, I'm afraid
although
I do as
take,
well.
That's homophobic.
I did take
that's
my son, I did take my son to Wicked, and we quite enjoyed that.
Well, then you do like musicals.
No, I don't. I really don't.
Well, then, but you enjoyed one.
I enjoyed that one, but as a general rule, I hate musicals. I quite like The Wizard of Oz, but I don't really think of it as
a musical.
That's
a musical.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think of it as a musical.
A musical if you don't think of it as a musical, even though it's a musical?
Well, it's really not a musical. It's an iconic film.
Which is with music and singing.
With Judy Garland. With Judy Garland.
Because you don't call it a musical doesn't make it not a musical.
I like Cabaret, actually, as well.
That's a musical.
Yeah. Liza Minnelli.
You like musicals?
Mike, you're not helping
I didn't
here.
Like I mean, Paint Your Wagon. I saw that when I was a kid.
Oh, okay. Were at Seven Brides for Seven Brothers?
No.
No.
Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No.
Not really.
No.
Okay, well, anyway, Diana the Musical.
Yes.
There are some brilliant lyrics
in
it.
It's a terrible name as well. Couldn't they have come up with a better name? Diana the Musical.
I'm just rewinding a bit here. I've got an image of you going to Rocky...
Horror Picture Show.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Well, you look like you should be in it.
Thank you very much, sweetie. I'm actually taking that as a compliment. I'm taking
Well, I mean, I mean it as a compliment.
It's a compliment.
I do.
For the gay man, that would be a huge compliment.
I know, exactly, yeah. But I mean,
He's coming out, Mike, with all your musical
knowledge. I've got a vision of him in fishnet stockings.
No.
Like mine, obviously.
I've never worn them.
I very rarely think of anything else, frankly.
I wore tights once, but I was skiing.
Did you?
Yeah.
And
anything
how they
keep
else?
Me warm. Yeah, that was quite a sight in Adelboden.
How cold was it?
Very cold. Tiny.
So this is some lyrics from it.
Back to the racing donkeys.
Because there are some amazing moments in this musical. You know, for instance, there was the moment where Diana meets AIDS patients who break into song.
That sounds hilarious.
is there a section where she's in a minefield as well?
No, but they do reference it, that she goes on and does this minefield. There are some brilliant lyrics, like the Thriller in Manila with Camilla, where they all meet at a party and they sing, "Nights like this, I envy the poor, their party parties can't possibly be such a bore. No?
No.
How about Harry, my ginger-haired son, you'll always be second to none?
Oh, well, I mean, he is second to none, isn't he? That's what they call her. No, sorry.
Darling, I'm holding our son, so let me say jolly well done. That comes from Charles.
Oh.
No? Well, anyway, this is Diana the Musical. You would like to nominate the writers of that.
I think I'd like to nominate Diana the Musical just as a thing, the whole thing.
No.
Not the writers, no. The whole thing.
Why?
Because it's awful.
It's brilliant.
It's crap.
It's brilliant.
It's
rubbish. I made my partner sit through it for 2 hours. He sobbed. He's told me to stop wearing this as well.
Well,
is that because you kept punching him?
You're divorced.
You know, no, it's a hideous idea for one thing, because her memory surely deserves better than to be reminded
Evita.
Of her by that. It's just awful.
Ava Perón, she is commemorated with the musical.
Well, Ava Perón was a bit different.
History.
And also Madonna was in that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is rubbish, isn't it? You've just told me
hold on,
was actually in it that you've heard of.
No, but a lot of people in Broadway and musicals, you haven't actually heard of them.
Yeah,
but because they're just brilliant Broadway performers.
That doesn't mean you make a film of it, though.
So I'm sitting here with a completely straight heterosexual man who professes to loathe musicals and knows more about musicals than I've ever known in my entire life.
No, because I know about them because I'm a journalist, and so there are many things that I have knowledge of.
What other musicals have you seen?
Yeah, go on, Mike.
Well, I've seen The Sound of Music, obviously.
Yeah.
Don't
you
like that? No, too many Nazis for my taste.
What about Mary Poppins?
Mary Poppins, I hate.
Why? How can you hate Mary Poppins?
Dick Van Dyke is dreadful in it with his
Chitty
Chitty
Bang Bang.
No.
You
don't like Chitty Chitty
Bang Bang? Hairspray. Have you ever seen Hairspray, the musical?
Yeah, don't like that.
Why?
Because it's Australian.
Well, because it reminds me of looking in the mirror.
Hairspray is an Australian. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, yeah, that's quite good.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I didn't mind
that. Do you like
that.
Priscilla?
But that wasn't
you like
a
Wizard
musical.
Of Oz?
Yeah.
You like, yes, it was. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert was made into a West End musical. It started off as Fringe in Australia.
Wasn't
and then it went to the West End.
Baz Luhrmann.
It toured. It came back into
wasn't
the West End as well.
Was it Baz Luhrmann?
No, that's Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like that either because I don't like What's His Face singing.
But you do like Cabaret. You
I quite like Cabaret. It's a good story. Christopher
Isherwood.
You like
Wizard of Oz.
Well, I like Christopher Isherwood.
You like
story.
Wicked. You like Hairspray.
I like the performance of Wicked. Right?
So you like musicals.
No, I don't like them. I don't like musicals.
You like musicals. You just named four musicals that you love.
I like some musicals, but generally speaking, I hate all musicals.
You can't say you don't like the genre.
Well, I can, actually.
No, you
can't. Whatever I like. It's my show.
No.
I don't like musicals.
Don't like you
either. I don't know anything about musicals at all.
And how you don't like
musicals. You've never seen a musical. You've never seen one.
I'm just trying to think.
I mean, you edited a national newspaper, you write a column for Woman's Own, you must have some knowledge of musicals.
I'm always at football.
Football?
Oh, yeah, football's great. Football's really entertaining, yeah. Okay,
well, I wouldn't say
beaten by Brentford.
I wouldn't say entertaining.
That's because you're always at bloody musicals instead.
Well, very rarely am I at musicals. I very rarely go.
Watch them all.
Do you know, I lived in New York, right, for nearly 10 years. I only went to Broadway, I think, 3 times.
Was it a chorus line? Oh, I love a chorus line.
No? It was Macbeth I went to see with Glenda
Macbeth,
Jackson.
The musical.
Macbeth
make
was not
stop.
A musical.
Make it a musical.
Check this out, right?
Make it stop.
Christopher Plummer and
Glenda
Jackson in Macbeth.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what songs they put in.
Once went to see Ivan the Terrible, which was terrible, at the Lincoln Centre. I went out at half time, went to the pub.
It's the interval.
That was
even
the Bolshoi
I know that.
Ballet, I'll have you know.
Do you know, I once watched Gone with the Wind, the musical, which was 3.5 hours long.
Jeez.
Did
you get
New
an
London
intermission?
Theater.
It was written by Keir Starmer.
Got an intermission, but I did a cushion.
Sorry, Jeremy Corbyn.
It was weird.
It was Rhett Butler.
No. Do you know who was Rhett Butler? Darius from Pop
no,
Idol.
No, just joking. Oh, God.
Oh.
Anyway, we seem to have got off on a musical tangent here.
Here's
what we're going to do, right? Here's what we're going to do. All those in favour of nominating Diana the Musical as a plank, raise your hands. Good job. You see? So now it's one of your planks. And you can carry over Harry and Meghan if you
can't
like.
Argue because it's in
And
charge.
The reason you wanted to nominate Harry and Meghan anyway was
because
to do
of their
with
hypocrisy.
They haven't said anything
they
about
haven't
this
said
because they've got to deal with Netflix.
Because they've got to deal with Netflix.
Right.
$150 million deal. And that happens to be the number of reasons why they are not saying anything.
I'll tell you what I'd rather do is I'd rather watch Diana the Musical than anything they're going to put out.
Well, I would rather watch a Gogglebox version of them watching it.
Yes,
that's
that might
what
be fun.
I would watch that.
Now, the bad news is, because you've been rattling on about musicals for so long, we're nearly out of time.
Hello.
So,
hello.
Yeah.
Kettles.
Hello. Sorry. So can you give us your third nominee, please, very quickly?
What, short and sweet?
Yeah, very short
Yeah, I won't
and
talk
sweet.
As much. as you do. In any case, mine is universities, right? Okay, you might not know this. It's National Teaching Day today.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I didn't know it existed.
I didn't know that.
So I'm going to nominate St Andrews and Kent universities. I'm very careful how I said that.
Very, very careful.
Who seem to think the most important thing you can teach youngsters is a massive sense of guilt for the colour of their skin in the class. Which is the very definition of racism.
My favourite part about the St Andrews story is that they've redefined the term equality.
Yeah.
Apparently equality doesn't mean treating everybody equally.
What does it mean now?
It means treating people differently in order to make up for the disadvantages.
I've always got that completely wrong then.
I can't treat you the same as I can treat Dawn.
Because
that's not equality.
That's not equality. Yeah.
Stop the world.
Really?
If you disagree with that, you foul the entrance module.
Yeah. You don't even get in, in other words.
No. Well, I think you have to keep taking
When you say the entrance module, that sounds like a euphemism for something.
I didn't go to university. I don't know what an entrance model actually is.
Module.
They use the long word that I didn't
understand. I think it means you don't get in. I think that's what it means.
Oh, okay.
So you have to basically pretend or say that you're guilty about your race in order to get accepted at the university.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is racism.
And they say institutions are too left-wing.
Yes, I know. Isn't it shocking?
St Andrews actually asked students to agree, right? You can't disagree. To agree with statements like, acknowledging your personal guilt is a useful start point in overcoming unconscious bias. And you can't pass until
you agree
with that.
How can you overcome unconscious bias?
You have them against musicals.
You just be warned.
Unconscious bias. I have bias.
Tick it. I mean, you just go, yeah, fine, whatever. But you know, this is the future of our great country. Kids are being taught only think one way.
I know.
Well, it's ingraining guilt into people that should not historically feel guilty.
The Catholic Church is very good at that. They should just go down there and learn from them.
Yeah.
Catholic guilt. You've probably got some of that, haven't you?
I'm not Catholic.
Aren't you?
I've got Greek Orthodox.
Greek Orthodox.
Oh, well, there you go. That's not as bad. It's not a problem. All right. Anyway, listen.
Church of England.
I'm going to go even quicker than that with my final one. It's Facebook, you know, the world's greatest tech company, which apparently is incapable of stopping itself from being offline for 6 hours. And not just Facebook, WhatsApp and Instagram as well.
Because I messaged you on all three last night and you ignored me on all of
them. Yeah, I normally do.
Now.
It went down around about 4 o'clock. It's a bit like a night at your house. It didn't come back up again till about 10. And but you would think, wouldn't you?
It's a long time breathing through my nose.
With all the great big brains that they've got in Sacramento or wherever it is, right? You would think that somebody would have been able to go, can you just, like, do that? You know, it's like when we go off air.
Yeah.
I mean, normally there's a couple of engineers around who could get you back on air pretty quick.
But that's exactly...
But these people couldn't do it for six hours.
Was it a conspiracy? A lot of people are saying...
Some people think it's the whistleblower. Some people think there's... Because at the moment, the boss of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, is in front of Congress, I think, giving evidence.
Yeah,
it's a strange timing.
Has Gavin Williamson got a new job at Facebook?
Well, I was wondering if it was something to do with Nick Clegg. You know, what's this button for? Because you know what Nick Clegg's taking us off the internet.
Student loans.
Taking us off the internet. Well done, Nick.
Someone did try to explain it last night, what had happened, and it went on longer than used to, talking about musicals.
Really?
And I had not got a clue what they were talking about. So I went to bed and did something far more interesting.
What'd you do?
Read a book.
She was breathing through her nose.
I read a book.
Not mine.
Looks like you've written a book there.
I read a book. I do proper research.
I have a book. An iPad.
It was amazing.
What sort of book was it?
Well, it involved rude stuff.
Really?
Yeah. In the name of research.
Could you not lower the tone, please, Dawn?
It involved a bit of bondage.
So finally, everybody's shut up and we've got all the nominations. So let's see who's going to win Plank of the Week. Why don't you pick your favourite one of his? And we'll go around that way.
Remind me, darling.
Tell us your three.
It was Sadiq Khan for his hypocrisy over everything and taking credit about fuel, the army going in for fuel. John Barrowman for thinking it appropriate to get his private parts out at any opportunity just to lighten the mood. And the one that I had to nominate under duress, which was Diana the Musical.
Oh, no brainer, Diana the Musical.
It's got to be Diana the Musical, isn't it? That is very good.
What were yours?
Well, I've got to do hers. We'll go around this way. So you do your three now, and I'll pick yours.
Okay. See?
I did say we're going to go that way.
No. You don't get a chance to get me back. Right, mine were Michael. Lovely Michael.
Thank you.
Mine were Keir Starmer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is pretty good, to be honest with you. Philip Allott, who's the police commissioner for North Yorkshire and a total plank in him. Okay. And universities.
Yes.
In particular, St Andrews and Kent, but I mean, it's most of them, to be honest.
I'm sure they're all doing it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with Philip Allott because I think he is probably the prize plank. And also, Keir Starmer's in it quite a lot. So he'll still be in the top 10 in any event.
We can carry him over. I'll explain later.
Yeah, explain later to him. Draw him a little diagram.
Yeah.
Like a hangman. right, Facebook. Insulate Britain, New Zealand.
Oh, Insulate Britain.
It's got to be.
Do you know what? They're racing up the charts because we're compiling Plank of the Year, which I hope both of you might be able to join us on this year.
I thought we'd cancelled after this one.
They've now been in it for the last 3 weeks.
Are there any singing in it?
There might be. There might be.
We have to write a Plank of the Week musical.
For God's sake. Anyway, listen, that is, of course, Plank of the Week for this week. So we've got to pick the winner. Is it going to be Insulate Britain? Mm. Is it going to be Diana the Musical?
Or
Philip Allott?
It's an absolute no-brainer.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? I mean, absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
Insulate Diana Britain. The Musical.
No! No!
No! No,
he won't have it.
It's got to be.
Well, do you know, we could do it. It should be Insulate Britain.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But will you be carrying that over?
But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you Diana the Musical's number two. How about that?
That's fair enough.
Yeah. And then number three will be Philip Allott.
Yeah, fine. All right, I don't mind.
So well done,
first.
Insulate Britain. Despite the fact that you've apologised, despite the fact that you may not ever do it ever again because you'll be blocked from doing it by all sorts of laws, Insulate Britain, Plank of the Week. Thank you to Christo. Thank you to Dawn. We'll see you next time.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.